The economy was just one of the items discussed last week when the Group of Eight held a summit in Canada. World leaders, including President Bush, also discussed the Middle East, terrorism, and the economic troubles in Africa. Responses to the decisions have not stopped since. Commentator Ev Ehrlich thought the politicians did what they do best, which is to avoid the issues on the table.
If manners are the art of telling lies politely, then the just-concluded G8 summit was the ultimate in civility, because each party at the G8 table was in some way trying to avoid an important truth. The subject of this most recent meeting of the heads of state of the world's leading economies, and Russia, was poverty in Africa. In particular, they discussed a proposal by a group of African governments called the New Partnership for Africa's Development, or as it's unfortunately called, NEPAD. Under this proposal, Africa's 54 governments would set standards among themselves for the rule of law, property rights, anti-corruption efforts, openness to trade, and the like. In exchange for this good behavior, the rich nations would give them a lot of money. Our money. And now the lying begins. First, there's the problem of believing that this African best practices group is really going to force change on kleptocratic regimes in Nigeria, Zaire, or Zimbabwe, to name just a few. And besides, if the African nations understand that these changes are good, why do they need to be paid to make them? Places such as Ghana, Mali, or Mozambique, to name a different few, are already doing this stuff on their own because it's in their interest. The African proposal tells us that its leaders are learning to talk the talk. Let's see them walk the walk. Then there are the Europeans and Canadians. They're living a lie, too. They're outraged that America isn't ready to join them in ponying up big piles of money in exchange for these promises of reform later. But they're not as outraged if the money is wasted or stolen on the ground. They're outraged because the U.S. won't open its markets to the products made by the world's poorest people, like food and apparel. But the European economy remains a far more closed one than ours. And then there's the U.S. The Bush administration has made many good points in this discussion, that aid works best as a complement to trade and investment, or that we should focus aid on achieving measurable results in the basic areas of health, education, or sanitation. But otherwise, our sanctimony is deafening. We're for combating AIDS when mothers give it to their babies, but not when the moms get it. We're for public health, but not family planning. We tell them to open their markets, then shut them out of ours. And we continue to cling to the belief that aid has never worked and that more spending can't ameliorate the suffering of the world's poor. Baloney. Aid hasn't been a magic wand, but it has helped decrease infant mortality, increase literacy, and improve life expectancy. Sure, aid should be conditioned on basic reforms, and it should focus on measurable results, but even with that as a premise, there's room for much more of it. There are 800 million people in the world who live on less than a dollar a day. Each one of them is a good reason for all the world's leaders to start telling the truth.
Comments of Ev Ehrlich, Senior Vice President of the Committee for Economic Development in Washington, D.C. He was Undersecretary of Commerce in the Clinton administration.